Want to listen to the full Burt Show every day, uninterrupted, with no ads? Become a bonus Burt Show subscriber. Find out more at theburtshow.com/bonusbs.
The Burt Show.
You know, most men in their marriages go as hard as they can to make sure their woman is happy. What's the old cliche?
Happy wife, happy life.
Our producer Kaylee lives in opposite world.
Yeah. I mean,
for Kaylee, his hobby is annoying his wife as much as he can, purposely, over and over and over again.
I think it's my existence. I mean, yeah, I don't try to.
Yeah, I think you do.
No, I really don't go out of my way. I don't get enjoyment. Well, maybe a little.
Yeah.
Maybe just a little.
For those that don't know, how long have you and your wife been together, been married, and how many children do you have?
We have 3 children. I hate when you ask me anniversary dates.
He started with the easiest one. He's like, I definitely know I have 3. Well, I think of the other stuff.
Correct. I think we're around 14 years total.
Okay.
Married 12.
One more question to that. When did she fall?
I don't know that that's accurate, actually. I don't know.
You need to get in the ballpark.
When did she was in the ballpark.
Of the 14 years, when did she stop liking you? Was it like year 4 or 5?
I think 2.5, there was a bit of disgust that started to build. I'm not really sure. So we just got back. We went to Disney for a few days over spring break. And so that was like we drove down into Florida and we went to Animal Kingdom. We stayed at the Animal Kingdom Jamba Lodge. Ooh. Or whatever. It was really, I've never been to Animal Kingdom.
Is that the one that has like the giraffes and stuff right out of your
Correct.
Room?
Correct. Oh, yeah. And it's like real tiki look. It just.
Yeah, you have to hunt for your food at that hotel. There's no menu. You have to go out in the back and you got to kill a giraffe and
eat
it.
It's a straight up. It's a straight.
You had the big game hunt at Disney? Okay.
They wanted to be the magical place in the world.
Yeah, they wanted to be very authentic.
Well, it's.
It's all about that magical experience.
The whole theme of that lodge and I don't. Or of that hotel, I know there's 3 on the property, but is all African theme. So, I mean, every. I mean, it's beautiful inside. And so...
You sure you went to Zanzibar?
No, I went to Disney.
So we get there, we get into our room, and our room backs up to the big game hunting that's behind it. And we got huge ostriches and giraffes and longhorns. It's just really, really cool.
It's one of my favorite hotels.
Yeah,
it really is.
Except the guns are loud out back. It's hard to sleep sometimes.
With all that poaching.
The only poaching Disney does is eggs. Like, let's be honest.
Yeah, for about $500. Yeah. Right. So we start getting ready for the pool, and there's another couple that's meeting us there who live in Florida. So we start getting ready, and, you know, I get my swim trunks on, and we're getting the kids ready. And I put on the tank top. And the tank top, so it's like... It says Icon on it. It's a white tank top. It's not very wide, but it's not one of those real thin tank tops that you see muscle guys working out.
Yeah.
It covers my nipples some. I mean, if I move, I might have a nip slip that
so
pops
is it
out.
A, is it a t-shirt that you just cut the sleeves off of?
No, that's just how I bought it.
Okay.
But it wasn't ever meant to be like one of, you've seen what I'm talking about, the like G-string.
Oh, yeah.
But it's not that. But as soon as I put it on, my wife instantly is like, you are not wearing that. And I'm like, it's a tank top. We're at Disney. Do you know what kind of people show up here?
That's exactly the kind of people they show up.
You are the people.
So she starts really going in on it. Like, no, that is embarrassing. And I'm like, what? I'm freeing the nipple.
Oh,
maybe.
She screwed herself when she said that. Because the moment she said it's embarrassing, you're in even harder.
Correct.
Yeah. Like, this is not Dollywood.
Well, so
this is Disney.
There's alcohol here, okay?
So I was like, she was adamant that I do not walk around with that shirt on. I'm like, you're ridiculous. I don't know what it was, but my wife brought, I call it a robe, but they're not robes. It's this
Turkish. It's a caftan. It's a caftan.
A caftan. Yeah, that's exactly what
it's
it is.
It's a caftan.
What is that?
It's like, It's like, other people call it moo-moos, but it's
like a house coat?
Oh, like a big dress.
Yes.
With no shape.
And like flowy arms, and it's just basically like a sheet with a hole in the head.
Yeah. Think of a silk robe that when it's shut, but it's like, you don't tie it together. That is the dress.
No. These are tied together. These have a tie together, and
it's like a kimono.
A kimono.
Kimono.
Right. Okay. So she's like, she could wear it as a cover up.
Kimono is an animal kingdom.
Yeah, it's a dragon.
And she explained to me, she's like, you can wear this as a cover up at the pool. Yeah. You can wear it with jeans. I mean, anyway, she brought two of those, and they're Turkish cotton. And I was like, well, fine. If I can't walk out like this, then I am going to put on whatever your, what I don't even
caftan.
Know. Caftan. And so I put on this white caftan, and it just so happens to have all these animals all over it.
And
so those guests that were coming to the hotel, so she's like, you're not going out like that. I'm like, well, you wouldn't let me go out this way. So I am going to embrace this, and I'm going to walk down to the lobby exactly like this. And it was such a hit. So when my friend got there, there was a pink one. I said, you put that on. I am not lying. Every time I left that hotel room, him and I were wearing these Turkish cotton thing. And what drove my wife even more nuts is that the amount of compliments that people would not, I love that. That's a great look in front of her. And she's like, what is going on?
It's driving her crazy.
Oh, yeah, this one lady at the pool comes up and she's like, the guys over there are like, we're going to do that next year. I'm like, dude, we are trendsetters up in this. They're like, whose is that? I'm like, it's my wife's. She brought her.
Every one of your segments should be sponsored by a divorce attorney. It's just a matter of time.
Well, where's Jared?
I'm not going to lie. It looks really good on you.
It really does. It's
kind of fire.
It really does. That's going to hurt her also.
I know.
The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
This has to be the craziest thing I've ever heard an actor do for a role. I mean, we've heard some pretty crazy things, like I think Joaquin Phoenix lost like 50 pounds for his role in The Joker. Zendaya had to learn how to trapeze for The Greatest Showman. I mean, they've really committed to the bit. But Halle Berry is taking it a step far. So she's acting in a movie called Never Let Go that comes out next fall. And she's playing this mom of two sons, and there's some kind of evil apocalyptic event. So, you know, you got to survive in the wild. And she said that she went a little method for this part. And she said there at one point she actually had to skin a real life squirrel. There was no CGI. It was like full on biology class. And as an animal lover, as someone who wishes we could domesticate squirrels, I don't know that I could do that.
Yeah, no, I cried the day I actually accidentally hit one with my car. I break for squirrels, and my husband hates it.
They want to be hit. No, you ever seen those things in the middle of the road? They can make a U-turn for sure. They look right at you, and they're like, they dare you.
They've seen enough streets to know how to cross one.
I've seen one like 3/4 across the street, and a car's coming, and he turns to get hit. He'll run right back in the middle of the road.
That's why they say to avoid them, you should actually try to hit them. Because if you try to avoid them, you hit them.
They're like college students who are crossing the street. They're like, do it. What's the worst that's going to happen? Pay my tuition. So she really went method for it, and it makes me want to see this movie less. But you know what? I hope she gets an Oscar for it.
They're attractive and unproblematic. And everyone just loves them on TikTok.
White boys of the month?
A white man? No!
Abby has done the work to bring you the white boy of the month.
So there's this little shtick on TikTok where about every 30 days, some white boy gets super popular on TikTok and all the girls go crazy for him. And everyone in the comments is like, this is our white boy of the month. So I'm here to highlight who the last 30 days white boy of the month is. And we have three nominees. So our first nominee is actually somebody that I work with. And that's because it's an account called Someone I Work With on TikTok. Uh-huh. This man has been all over my feed. It is just this generic white guy who works in a corporate office. But there is somebody that he works with that is always lurking at him from across the office, getting like up in his face, zooming in on what he's doing. Every now and then she'll even have him do a voice reveal.
Turns out he's British, so he sounds like a British Christian Grey, and all the women are going absolutely feral for this man who probably just does, I don't know, somebody's taxes for a living.
Protest flag over here. If this the roles are reversed here, genders are reversed now, it's creepy, but because it's a woman taking pictures of a dude from across the room, it's okay.
It's probably his assistant and he had her do it.
It could be.
Because when you, I've seen some of his videos, and it'll be like, he'll get a coffee, and he'll be like, lean on the counter and run a hand through his hair. I'm like, no one does that. They spill it on their front and then they drop the sugar.
Yeah, I think this is very much consensual, because especially in this one right here where we get a good back shot, we can see it's a good shot of his butt here. He's got a cute little tush, and it looks like he's definitely trying to show it off here in the company bathroom that just happens to be wide open for someone to video him.
Mo, what do you think of that cute little tush?
I've seen better.
Yeah, this is definitely a great PR move for him. So next tax season, you can go to someone I work with on TikTok. All right, the next nominee is Aaron Taylor Johnson. Now, he was in a little bit of controversy this month because he was defending his marriage. He has a pretty big age gap in his relationship. He got together with his wife who was in her 40s when he was 18. And a lot of people are like, it feels a little groomy. And he's come out multiple times and defended it the last couple of months. And he's like, listen, we have been married for 14 years at this point. I thought at this point we've proven that this is a serious relationship. We have kids together. This marriage lasted longer than her last marriage. Like, what more can we do to prove that we are actually in love?
Nothing. Nothing. I mean, literally nothing. I mean, it's an 18-year-old and a 42-year-old. You don't overcome that. Like, that's creepy.
Absolutely.
Sorry.
It's creepy.
And I want to be like, all like, hey, you know what? Find your own way in your relationships, right? If it works for them, everybody should shut up. But the truth of the matter is, if my 16-year-old or my 18-year-old came home with somebody 20 years older than them or whatever at that age, I'd be like, come on, man. No, absolutely not.
Yeah, but word on the street is he's supposed to be the next Bond, so we may be seeing more of him in the coming months.
And her on the red carpet.
And her, too. Okay, and now the final nominee, but this is really who gets White Boy of the Month. Oh. None other than Tom Holland, a.k.a. Zendaya's boyfriend.
Yeah, go short, King.
Oh, my God. I have been living for them the last couple of months. Zendaya's been on a couple of press tours, and of course, she's got to bring her arm candy along with her. So we've been getting a lot of really sweet boyfriend content from Zendaya and Tom Holland. We've seen videos of them at tennis matches being all canoodly. She's been going off talking about him and all of her press junkets. I love them. If Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce ever break up, this ship will, you know, fill the gaps. So that is your White Boy of the Month for April.
I'm very happy for Tom, but are you counting down the days to the Met Gala for Zendaya and what she's going to wear?
I'm so excited.
I can't freaking wait.
She is going to do such a good job as the chairman or one of the chairmen for the event. So you know she's going to show up and show out, and I hope she walks it with Tom. It would just make my day. All right, Madonna freaked out during a show in Miami because the venue didn't turn the air conditioning off. We'll tell you why she wanted to turn up the heat on your next E-Buzz on the Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Cassie's conscience is eating at her right now. Did she make the right decision, or was she selfish, selfish, selfish?
I would love to know what you guys would have done in this position. Because I definitely made a mistake, but I don't know how big of a mistake it is. So picture this. It's early morning. I'm on my way to work. I live in a very residential, like, little suburban neighborhood. Super quiet. I think in the 9 years that I've lived there, I've maybe seen people up at my hour twice. Like, they just, it's well lit, so don't try anything. But, you know, there's no one out and about. So I'm in my car, I get in at 5:30 in the morning, I'm driving, it's dark out. I'm listening to a very inappropriate book about teenage vampires and werewolves.
As you should.
Rolling down the street, sipping on my orange juice. And I will admit, I allegedly, because it is so quiet, allegedly did a rolling stop through a stop sign, right? There's never anyone, even in the day, there's never anyone at this intersection. So I have allegedly taken it upon myself to just sort of pull up and like check and roll through, right? Without coming to a full stop, because no one's ever there except this morning out of the left corner of my eye when I'm going a little too fast to do a full stop. On the sidewalk, I see maybe a 45-year-old-ish, 48-year-old-ish white man, like built like a linebacker, okay, with like a hat on. And he is just, he fits in suburbia. Like, I'm sure he's one of my neighbors. I've never met him before. And he is running into the street waving at my car. Like, with both hands, like, you know how if you're marooned on a desert island in a movie or TV show, you will, and a plane goes overhead, you see everyone doing that double-handed, hey, like, crossing your hands over wave. And he's doing that running at my car. And I panic, and I start to slow down. And I'm like, he needs help. Why would you just launch yourself? And he wasn't waiting to cross the road. That's very important. Like, when I did my little alleged rolling stop, he was not waiting to cross the road. So it's not like I cut him off as a pedestrian. It's not like he was in the road. I was no danger to him. He was further away. It looked like he came running out of a yard almost. And so I slow down and I'm like, oh, I need to help this man. And then all the true crime podcasts I have ever listened to kicked in. Be weird. Don't stop. Because I'm like, Cassie, look at this situation. I know you want to help. It is dark out. No one else is out. This man can easily overpower you, and you're alone. And at this point, I'm far enough away from my house where if I scream for help, like, there are other neighbors around who would probably come out, but, like, I'm not by my house. And so I kept going, and he's in the street waving at me. And I'm like, I don't know if this was somebody who truly needed help. Or sketchy guy. Or a neighborhood Karen mad at me because I did a rolling stop through the stop sign. Because, you know, there are kids in my neighborhood. Not at 5:30 in the morning, thank you. And so I'm curious, like, if this were you guys and you were driving to work and someone, especially for the women, I think it's important that it's a man. Because if it had been a woman, I probably would have stopped, which I don't know if that's sexist or what. Like, I feel like I could take on a woman because I'm kind of built like a woman linebacker, but I can't take on an actual football player.
You can take on a man, too. Didn't you tell us last night at our meeting that you used to be a former UFC champion? Oh, yeah. What did you tell us last night?
I am a black belt in karate.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I almost went to the Junior Olympics for it.
All right.
When I was young, okay? It's been a hot minute since I've done that. Now the only thing I chop is cucumbers for my kids instead of boys. But still, so I'm like, I don't know. And I have this guilt, like, and I know I messed up by doing the alleged, for anyone listening, a rolling stop. But should I have stopped and been like, yo, what's up? Are you okay?
No.
Okay.
I wouldn't have. Not as a woman alone, 5:30 in the morning, a man come running at you. You want to stop, but at the same time, people do that, those kind of things, and people also use women as decoys to, like, get you to stop, and then a man will come out of, like, the shadows, and then you're screwed. So I wouldn't have stopped. I would have kept going, but I would have called 911.
I think it really does suck that you have to think that way, but I've gone down a rabbit hole with these YouTube videos where there's a lot of people who do things like that in order to get you to stop, and then you don't know what's coming after they stop. So as much as I get it that you want to, I don't think you should have either.
And I hate that in my heart. Like if I was one of those people that was in distress and running in front of a car and waving and they just kept driving, like, I imagine that feeling of distress, but I don't think you did the wrong thing here.
I think the logical, you never know what you're going to do in the moment, but if you can go like 150 feet, right, and then pass them and then try to assess the situation, turn around and ask what's going on, rather than doing it like so close to them, maybe that's the way to go. But in the moment, I'm probably not stopping anymore either. That sucks.
Yeah, as little of a fan of true crime podcasts as I actually am, I think this is the one good thing to come out of it because it makes you more aware of the danger out there. And so if he had been a woman, I would feel different, but I think you did the best thing for your safety in this case.
Okay, and also a little part of me really did think he was a male Karen, and I was just going to get yelled at, and I was late for work, and I was like, I'm not dealing with this today.
I got a quick story. So I was living in Miami. I just moved there. I was maybe there for like a month. I'm on the way to work, radio morning show, 5 o'clock in the morning, and there's this guy in the intersection just laying in the street, and I thought the same thing. Should I stop? Should I not stop? I didn't stop.
Your option probably is, or do I run over him?
No. I got to work. He was dead. I saw a dead man laying in the road.
Whoa.
Somebody had hit him. He was in Miami at the time. they had homeless people that would sell the newspapers. And he was a homeless guy selling newspapers. Somebody hit him, and he was dead. So then I saw him before the cops got there, before the White Chalk outline, all that. He was just laid out.
So the moral of the story is you couldn't help anyway, so it's a good thing you just moved on.
Yep.
Okay.
and, you know, new gig, didn't want to be late, because then I just would look bad on him.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't stop to save a dead body.
Nothing you can do.
Nothing you can do at that point.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. It doesn't sit right with my soul. That's kind of been a fun theme we've been playing with on The Burt Show lately, where you're getting something off your chest that's just not sitting right with you. Like when I threw a sick burn at Abby and then immediately felt bad, and she did the same thing to Kristen and also felt bad right away. Now, we're all good and that was all in good fun, but sometimes you're not quite ready to confront your problems head on and you need someone to talk to. And while we love talking to you guys about your drama, sometimes it's above our pay grade and you need a professional to give you advice. I've been to therapy, and there's something so freeing about unloading your problems on a therapist that has your back and you know is there to help you. And that's where BetterHelp comes in. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/BurtShow today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BurtShow.
The Burt Show.
Thank you for listening to The Burt Show. If you liked what you heard, then go ahead and give us a 5-star rating. If you didn't like it, well, that means you need to listen better. And give us a 5-star rating anyway.
All right, so a California man is suing more than 50 women for $2.6 million because they shared negative stories about him on the Facebook page, Are We Dating the Same Guy? Stuart Lucas Murray claims the reviews were false and defamatory. So there on Facebook in multiple cities is a Facebook page for women only called Are We Dating the Same Guy? This is a network where women share information about negative dating encounters that they've had in these respective cities. The LA chapter alone has 53,000 members.
Oh, God. Okay.
Wow.
Yes. So women who have bad encounters on dating apps, who have like bad dating experiences, or who are just asking, they can post a picture and be like, hey, I'm talking to this guy. Does anybody know anything about him? And then women can comment. Okay.
It's kind of a Google review for guys when it comes to dating.
It is. It's a Yelp. It's a Yelp for dating. So Stewart is claiming sex-based discrimination because he couldn't join the Facebook group because it's women only. And he also says that he was labeled a murderer and the women accused him of having a sexually transmitted infection. So he started a GoFundMe to help with his legal fees.
Would you rather date a murderer or somebody that has a sexual infection?
A sexual infection.
Yeah, bring the infection on.
I don't know. Might be nice to have my own murder documentary. Yeah, right. At least they'll remember me well.
I'm going to have to chew on this question.
So in his GoFundMe, he said, I support a safe space for women to protect themselves against being stalked, harassed, or harmed, and not the other way around. These women exploited the concept of a safe space to gossip, defame, and cyberbully anyone at whim. The acts of these defendants are hate-filled and unrelenting. So it was Kelly Gibbons who did the initial post of Stewart, right? She posted a photo of him and they didn't even go on a date. She merely had a conversation with him and she was so put off by it that she wanted to throw this guy up with a bunch of red flags. Like, you shouldn't go out with this guy.
So they're texting back and forth, but she never meets him, or is it just
a comment?
Okay.
Yeah. They were chatting and then they also talked on the phone and then she decided she did not want to meet this dude in person.
It doesn't matter if he's a murderer or he does have a sexually transmitted disease. She's out.
Yes.
Okay.
And so she posts this and she goes, I wouldn't want my friend going out with someone like that. So then other women began commenting on the post and they were sharing screenshots of exchanges they had with him, recounting in-person dates. Others just left comments.
Was he just weird in the screenshots of these exchanges, or what was so bad?
We don't have the screenshots because this is a private Facebook group, but he just says that, you know, you're defaming me. So I searched high and low to get, like, the nitty-gritty and get the tea, but all I have is what he is filed in his complaint, which is him saying they called me a murderer and said I had an STI. So 9 of the women who are named in this lawsuit
their actual names are. And then there's does 1 through 50. So literally.
Does or hoes?
Does.
Does hoes. Does hoes getting sued.
Does hoes versus the state.
Yep. So I think anybody who interacted with this post, he is calling out in his lawsuit. Now, this week, a judge in an LA civil court has issued a ruling that these women did nothing wrong. Yes.
Thank God.
They did nothing wrong by sharing their opinions of Stewart. And the judge in Stewart's case said that based on the evidence, they did not see any possibility of Stewart prevailing against any of the defendants that he has filed a lawsuit against.
Justice for all. Damn. See, some of these women that have this long laundry list of things that they're looking for in a guy, at some point it starts to deteriorate. It goes from 15 things to 2 things. At some point, murder or sexually transmitted disease will be like, I can deal with that.
I think another question is like, which would you rather be known for if you had to choose? Would you rather people think you're a murderer or you have an STI?
What a complete waste of time and money, though. This guy knew right off the bat he wasn't going to win this case, right?
Oh, no, you look at his picture. He thought he was going to win.
Really?
Be careful, that's defamatory.
Oh, it is.
You don't want him coming after you.
I can be Doho 51.
I mean, how about, that's 50 different dates? 50
no,
different
no, no,
people?
No. Not 50 different dates. Anybody who interacted with this post. So 9 of the women are specifically named, and then other women, whether they just had like a DM exchange, or if they're just commenting on the post, he's going
gotcha.
After all of them.
He's so bad, he don't even make it to the date.
Wow. Yeah, exactly. Literally.
The Bird Show.
All right, we call it Follow-Up Thursday. You guys hit us up, and you're like, hey, whatever happened to that teen with the positive pregnancy test that the older sister found in the trash? You guys remember this?
Oh, sorry. This is me.
You weren't the older sister, and you weren't the teen.
I had my other story ready to go, and I didn't have this one, so that's totally on me. All right, so what had happened was that our listener found a positive pregnancy test in the trash a few days after her teenage sister's sleepover with friends. She had no clue who the test belonged to, but she was determined to figure it out. She confronted her sister lovingly about the test. Her sister swore the test didn't belong to her, and she didn't even know if it belonged to one of her friends. She was saying one of her friends must have took it on, like, on the DL, and she didn't even know. So I thought that was, you know, suspicious, because why would a group of girls have a sleepover without mentioning the pregnancy test? So conflicted about what to do, we suggested our listener tell her mom about the pregnancy test because it involved a minor. What did she end up doing?
The update. Turns out, the pregnancy test wasn't my sister's. Thankfully, it belonged to one of her friends who was at the sleepover. Obviously, this was a relief for me and my family, but we were incredibly concerned and felt bad for the other girl. While this girl was at the sleepover, she and my sister were newer friends and not so close that I am aware of every detail of what happened since. What I do know is that she eventually found the courage to tell her parents. From what I've heard, they were supportive, which I'm so glad for. I also know that my sister and her other friends hadn't seen her much because she did not return for her senior year in person. It seems she was doing some type of virtual school or homeschooling. Though, it does sound like she will still be on track to graduate, which is another relief. In February, she had her baby. I was able to see a picture, and she and her baby girl looked happy and healthy. I've heard that they are still doing well. While the circumstances are less than ideal, it seems they're managing as best as they can. I know that many situations like this don't turn out so well, but I'm grateful that this seems to be an exception. Thanks for checking in. Aww.
I initially thought she was BSing for sure. For sure. All right, this is the time of year where our interns get very introspective, start looking at their lives, because most of them are about to graduate.
You say introspective, they say panic.
Yeah, looking at the real world here, and it's time to take a look at your life and realize, like, man, I am not going to be going to school every single day. I have to become an adult. Messy Mikey has had an epiphany.
Don't blame me any of that pomp and circumstance. It's doom and gloom around here. It's bad news. Things are not looking up. I'm about to graduate. I'm about to be a collegiate graduate. And
that's terrifying.
Thanks, everybody. It feels not that good. It's like I'm going through the stages of grief. Like, it's been denial for the whole semester. Like, last week, I finally got to anger. I'm angry now.
But this is why you go to school. Like, you go to school to graduate. This is the goal. You've accomplished your goal.
You go to school to have a hell of a time, live in paradise. You don't learn a thing, and then you graduate and you don't know where your life is going.
Where does anger enter the room? Because, I mean, you've earned this.
It's just not fair. No, but I think I'm about to reach, what's the next one? Bargaining? I think I'm starting to bargain. The other day I went to my favorite bar, a place where I've spent many an hour for my college experience. I was in my favorite bar and I had a bit of an epiphany. I was sitting there alone in a booth the way I used to. It was throwing them back to the old days. Sitting there, people coming up asking if I'm okay. Yes, I'm fine. I'm just looking around. I'm just a judgmental mug. It's horrible. If I'm in a bar, I'm looking around. People are enemies. They're not my friends. Because if it's guys, back before I had a girlfriend, it's like, this is the competition. If it's girls, it's like, that's who's about to hurt my feelings. And so it's pretty much everyone's enemies. But just for a couple seconds the other day, I took a look around and I said, Lord have mercy, this is my community. These are my people. These friends and neighbors are the good old days, and we're in them right now. And it was like the most clarity I've ever seen. I looked around the whole bar. Everyone's having a great time. Of course, some drunk guy threw a dart at his girlfriend's butt, and that ruined
it
all.
That's even part of the good time. What are you talking about?
So then I was like, all right, now you guys are animals. I'm out of here. So, yeah. But for just a couple seconds, I had a great epiphany, and I was like, wow, we are in the good old days right now. This is beautiful, but some drunk has to go and ruin it. I turned on everyone again.
So what you're saying is you looked around there and you realized, like, you're ready for, quote-unquote, graduation. Those aren't your people anymore, or you say that you are embracing where you're at
Embracing where I'm at, okay. But I'm realizing these are the good old days. This is what I'm going to look back on. Like, this was the time. This was the fun.
Downhill from here.
Yeah, exactly. It's a roller coaster downhill.
It never gets any better than it did in that bar last night.
That's it, bro.
That's it, man. I
hate to tell you.
Pure bliss.
The Burt Show. You're on The Burt Show.
So why would a guy not use his real name unless he was trying to hide something, right?
Yeah, it's weird.
So we got Gabriella here who is going out with a guy, and she knows he's not, like, using his real name, but she doesn't know why, and she wants us to do a background check on the dude. Hey, Gabriella.
Hi.
Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. Yeah, so I've been seeing, he says his name is Mike, and we've been dating a couple of months now. When we met, he said his last name was Anderson and that he didn't have a middle name. Okay, like I thought, all right, nothing of it. But just recently, I just caught like a quick glimpse at his license, and it looked like he does have a middle name, and the last name didn't look like Anderson. I mean, it was too quick, so I don't really know what it is, but it just didn't seem like it said Anderson on it. And I don't want to jump to conclusions or anything, but I mean, I don't know why anyone would even lie about a name to begin with. It doesn't change, who you are as a, like, your character as a person or anything. And I know I could, like, ask him directly about it, but I don't want him to, like, think of me of anything, because I don't want to, like, let him know that I looked at his license without, you know, asking, and I don't want that to be a problem either. So if you guys could help out, get to the bottom of it, of just, like, what his actual name is, it would just, like, really, like, ease my mind off of, like, anything. I mean, maybe I'm just making a big deal about nothing. I don't know, really know.
No, that's not a nothing. Somebody tells you a name and that's not their actual name. That's a significant
big deal.
It's very sketch. There's a red flag there. Remind us again, how long have you and Mike been dating?
Yeah, I mean, just like a couple months. So it's pretty recent.
And how did you guys meet?
I was just like in person, I guess. It was like, I don't really do the dating apps. It's just like, it was actually just standard at a bar. Yeah. Just like
that's so old school. Wow, how traditional.
Yeah.
Meeting in person.
I know. It's
a dream.
And he's been, for the past couple of months, there's been no other red flags aside from the fact that you got a glance at his driver's license and it looks like Anderson is not his last name.
Yeah. I mean, that's the other thing. Seems to be going pretty well. I mean, you know, we just do like, I guess, just watch a couple movies. We talk a bit. I mean, I think everything's going well. So,
As I've said before, some red flags are bigger than others. So even if this is just one, this is one of those car dealerships.
Yeah, no, it's
like American flag size red flags right here.
You sound pretty young. How old are you guys?
I'm 25. He says he's 31, but I guess I don't know, because that's the thing. And now I'm second guessing like everything about our relationship. Of just like if he's lying about a name, it's just like I don't know if he's lying about anything else. And I don't want to like be that person of just like, oh, I guess everything is has to be like this big like secret or anything. I think I'm like an open person, and you know, I guess like we just like. Pretty recent relationship, so maybe like further down the line maybe he would say something about it, but I guess I just feel a little too insecure about it, so that's why I'd rather know now instead of waiting till whatever when he decides to maybe come clean about it. I guess
I almost feel like if it was his first name it wouldn't really be that weird because so many people go by a different name than whatever their first name is, but something about you lying about your last name, it just I can't even find a way where you could justify that.
Right.
To that way.
Yeah. It's sketch right from the start, right?
So Gabriella, in order to do a background check, you're going to have to get his ID and take a photo of it and send it to Tommy because we need his real name in order to do the background check.
Or just his face, and then we could do a search just on face and then we get his name. I don't know.
Oh, it could have just be like, I guess like if it, like a picture of us together, you could like do it by his face. Is that okay?
Tommy, this is your PI. Would that work?
No, I need the name.
Need the name.
Yeah.
Yep. We'll have to work on this one.
She got to find a reason to ask for his ID.
No, she doesn't.
No?
When he's sleeping, just go as well.
Sneak a pic and send it to me.
Kristen sounds like she does this every week. I got this, you
been
guys.
Here plenty of times. Come on. That'll be a huge starting point. I'll have his full name and his address. So.
Yeah.
All right, Gabriella, hold on one sec. We'll get some info from you. We'll try to do this background check today and give you a report tomorrow, okay?
Okay, great. Yeah, thank you so much. And if you could give me like a reason to try to see his license, I'm open to any suggestions.
All right, I'll put you on hold. Tommy will talk you through it. The Burt Show. Entertainment Buzz.
Right. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's Entertainment Buzz.
At this point, Madonna is going out of her way to create problems at her own show because she's already got this horrible, horrible tendency for being super, super late. All of her fans are really peeved about that. But now she's stopping her shows to complain about air conditioning. That's what happened at a show in Miami. She stood up in the middle of the venue. Obviously, she's on the stage. She stops the show and she says, you know what? I've worked too hard for it to be this cold in here. I didn't realize air conditioning was a lack of respect.
Well, at Madonna's age, it's usually the other way around. They're too hot. They're looking for air conditioning.
That's what I'm thinking. Like, don't you want it to be cold?
And this is such a Florida thing anyway, isn't it? Any place you go into Florida is like set, the air conditioning is set at 58 degrees.
No, it's not.
Are you kidding? It's freezing.
No, I've spent my fair share of time in a retirement community in Florida. Okay. None of their thermostats are set below 74. Yeah.
Well, that's around the older folk.
Yeah, Madonna is an older folk.
I also lived in Florida my whole life. Can confirm my thermostat was at 74.
Oh my
but
gosh.
You would think, again, Miami, like why in April, why are you going to be upset at the thermostat being on, especially when you're working hard and sweating? When I saw this, I thought, oh, she wants the air conditioning turned up. Until I read the articles, I was like, oh, no, she wants it turned down. And then I got on Twitter because all of her stans were backing her up. And I was like, why is that? I don't understand. Well, I guess when it's too cold, it can be very harmful for your vocal cords.
Oh, yeah,
and so what she's basically saying is it's too cold. I can't perform. I work so hard. I can't perform how I want to if it's going to be, I don't know, 72 degrees.
I had a different theory about if it was too cold because of what happened with Ricky Martin. Ricky Martin was on stage, and she brings celebrities on stage to get lap dances, and Ricky Martin got a lap dance on stage and got a huge erection. And if it's too cold, you can't get one.
When did this happen?
Wait, what?
Yeah, this happened. This happened. I don't know.
Because that's really not Ricky Martin's lane.
Right. Like
it was a lap dance from a man.
Okay. All right.
I mean, yeah, it was.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was something to behold.
Just the logistics of this are curious to me also. If you're in a one-bedroom apartment and you need the air conditioning adjusted 2 degrees, you're going to feel that in about 10 minutes, right? She's in a stadium.
Yeah.
What are they really going to do, and how much effect is it going to have over the course of the next hour?
I think, though, if you turn the air conditioning off with all those people in there...
I bet
it would warm up significantly quick.
Probably.
It's going to get real sweaty real quick. Well, speaking of Madonna, JoJo Siwa had to apologize to her. So she actually came out a couple of days ago, and when she was talking about this new song, Karma, that's making so many headlines, she caused a little bit of controversy by saying that she started a new genre of music called gay pop. She said, when I first signed with Columbia, I said I wanted to start a new genre of music. And they said, what do you mean? And she's like, it's called gay pop. It's like K-pop, but it's gay pop. And everyone's like, gay pop has existed for decades. Have you not heard of Elton John, Madonna, George Michael, Hailey Kiyoko, Kehlani, Janelle Monáe, all these people? And so finally TMZ caught up with her and she retracted her statement.
Do you want to go back on your statement and say that you weren't the inventor of gay pop?
I'm definitely not the inventor of gay pop, for sure not. But I do want to be a piece in making it bigger than it already is.
Okay.
I want to bring more attention to it.
Okay.
I'm not the creator, but I'm not the president, but I might be like the CEO or the like CMO.
She might need to bring some more positive attention to it, because I'm not sure anybody wants to listen to more gay pop after hearing Karma. But I don't think it's resonating well with people. Rihanna, she's revealing what plastic surgery procedure she would want to undergo, which, why? She's Rihanna. She's literally stunning and perfect. What more could you want to look like? But she recently did an interview with Interview Magazine, and she says, I want my boobies pinned back to my shoulders, right where they used to be. I don't want implants. I just want a lift. But what I also thought was interesting was she revealed the one plastic surgery she would never want to get done. And she said that she would never get a BBL. She'll just stick to doing squats in the gym.
I as mad at that. As a fellow mom, I want my boobs back where they used to be as well. I get it.
Pinned to the shoulders, huh?
Something.
That what she said?
Yeah, the gravity and breastfeeding does a hell of a number to you, Tatas, man.
Have you ever seriously thought about it?
No, I wouldn't do it.
You wouldn't?
Mm-mm.
No.
No, it is what it is.
Is there a plastic surgery thing you would never get done? Like, even if it was for free and you know it would come out perfect?
Oh, I think the boob job. Like, even if it was for free, I think the idea that it's so significant and, like, actually going under, I don't think I would, I don't think I'd have the gonads to do it.
Yeah, can confirm. It's terrifying. Matt Lauer made his first public appearance since his very public firing and reportedly has his next gig. I'll tell you more on your next eBuzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Let's just hope and pray that the United States Department of Agriculture isn't fielding calls from Consumer Reports today, because Consumer Reports, sadly, is coming after your kids' Lunchables.
What's wrong with them?
Consumer Reports says way too many chemicals, way too much salt in Lunchables.
Duh.
And the USDA should ban them from schools.
Should ban them.
Ban Lunchables.
What? I mean, did we need Consumer Reports to tell us this, right?
We all knew they're not super healthy.
Yeah, I guess these chemicals they got a problem with.
Hella convenient. Super healthy? No, not so much.
That's because they have crazy high levels of lead in them.
Yeah, but they taste good.
Why is lead in there?
Apparently, there's an acceptable level of lead that's allowed
in
foods.
Get out of here.
But I read that the Lunchables is like 75% of the acceptable level. Like, so it's pretty high in lead.
Dude, it's ridiculous. And the amount of sodium in there also is so bad for kids.
Yeah, but like lead can like damage your brain and nervous system and stop you from growing.
It tastes good.
That explains a lot about my generation.
The article that I saw said that the ones in schools are even higher than the ones they sell on the shelves.
Yeah, ooh. Those are the turkey and cheddar cracker stackers and the extra cheesy pizza specifically. Mm.
And we already know that they taste like, they taste great, but they're really, really bad for you. But I think there should be a list of like foods where you can't touch our Oreos, you can't touch our Kraft macaroni and cheese, our ramen noodles. All three are probably terrible for you, but they're national treasures.
We are seeing the situation very differently because I'm like, let me know if a lead pencil even sat next to the box of food. I want to know about it.
I say lick a pencil. It tastes good.
There is a woman in the world somewhere that owes me and a stranger that I met an explanation and an apology because I witnessed one of the saddest stories I have ever witnessed in my life.
Aww.
It was so sad, and I felt so bad for this guy.
Is this a rock bottom moment that we were talking about like yesterday?
1,000%. And I've heard stories like this, but I've never seen one this close and up in person. And so I'm in the airport, and I'm on my way to go to Zanzibar, and I'm waiting for my lady to get to the airport. So per usual, she forces me to get there early and then gets there late. So I go and I'm in this restaurant. I'm sitting down at a table next to another guy who's sitting down at the table beside me. And so I text her and say, do you want me to order something for you so that it's ready when you get here? Not realizing that she was going to tell me yes and still not get there for another 30 minutes. So I got her drink over there across from me, her order over there across from me, and she's now telling me she's still stuck in traffic. So, of course, I look like the guy that's either dating an invisible girl or got stood up. And I could tell that the server wanted to say something to me because every time he would just keep coming back and going like, are you okay?
You just want to give you a hug?
Yeah. Like, are you sure you're okay? And I'm like, I'm completely fine, dude. I promise you, like, everything is good here. So the guy next to me hears me say that to him. And he makes the joke like, looks like you've been stood up too.
Oh, dang it.
So at first I didn't really catch the two part. I just was like, nah, I said something like, nah, not me. Or yeah, like something,
man.
Like that.
Look
like,
at me.
Like,
man.
Well, nobody would say
me. Look
that
at
would
me.
Never happened to me. Like, right? And I'm joking, but not putting together that I might be insulting this guy because he said two. Oh. So that's when it hit me.
Yeah. Okay.
So I'm like, wait a minute. Wait, you got stood up? So he's like, yep, sure did. And he's like taking a drink back. So I'm like, seriously? He's like, yeah, man, I'm serious. So I'm like, wait, how do you get stood up at the airport? Like, how is that a thing? So he's like, well, I had a girlfriend for 3 months and they were supposed to be taking a surprise trip, which I was like, that's ironic because I'm literally doing the same thing and I'm waiting for my lady now. And he's like, well, yeah, I was putting the surprise together. I wanted to take her somewhere special and I'm waiting for her. She's not answering any of my phone calls, any of my texts. I'm like, no way. Are you serious? He's like, I'm so serious. I'm like, I'm so stunned that I'm thinking that this is some kind of joke. So I'm like, y'all been together for 3 months? He's like, 3 months. So I said, did you know there was a problem? Like, what? He said, dude, last time I spoke to her, everything was perfectly fine.
I don't believe that. I never believe that. When people say, it just came out absolutely out of nowhere, 90% of the time the signs were there, but you're just being a dude.
But he did make a valid point because I felt the same way. He said, if I felt like something was rocky or shaky in our relationship, then I wouldn't have been sitting here planning a surprise trip for her and I. Like, obviously, I thought everything was good. And I was like, that's valid.
Yeah.
So he doesn't, well, at the time, I don't know if he's spoken to her since, but at the time he was saying he doesn't know if she got cold feet. If she just decided last minute, like, I don't think I want to do this. And she didn't have the heart to just say that. But I ended up leaving that restaurant with him still sitting there by himself, still waiting to see if she was going to come. And he said the flight was leaving at that point in like 45 minutes or something. So he pretty much was like, I'm going to go by myself. And he was just knocking him back. And I bought him a couple drinks because I felt
him.
Bless
nice.
His little heart, a little sympathy drink. Do you know the destination, did you say, where they were going?
Amsterdam.
Oh, my gosh.
All right, so she, wow. She's like, I mean, that's a nice destination, a lot of fun. She was really over it.
Yeah, I mean, but she didn't know that that's where they were going.
Yeah.
She just knew they were going somewhere. So it was supposed to be a surprise. Like, he was like, I thought it was romantic. Like, just show up to the airport.
Yeah.
And I was like, it is. That's why I'm here. I'm being romantic.
It was a surprise trip. Surprise, you're single.
You're going alone. Like, yeah. That was the surprise.
Bless.
Yeah, so I did exchange Instagrams with him.
Oh, and, you did?
Yeah, of course, to see what will happen. But he hasn't responded to my messages, but I'm going to write him again.
He's probably so embarrassed by it. He doesn't want anything to do with it at all.
No, bro, that wasn't me, man. That absolutely wasn't me.
The Burt Show.
I'm just going to straight up admit to you guys, I'm a little bit desperate right now, and I'm going to need your help, okay? This is not going the way that I had anticipated it to go at all. Told you guys a couple of days ago, I've seen this uptick in random texts from people that are quote-unquote, wink, wink, mistaking me for somebody else. Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, I thought you were somebody else. And then they start to engage you in a conversation, right? It's happened to me a lot lately. Most of it's been happening to him a lot lately.
I've gotten quite a few texts from just random, I don't know what they are, but basically saying that, is Charles there or something like that? And I respond, no, you have the wrong number. And they go, I'm sorry. Well, here's a picture of myself. Here's where I live. And then they just keep the conversation going, but I never thought to actually try to figure out what the end game was.
Well, that's because you have a life and a lot of different projects.
And Abby and I are women, and we don't want to be sex trafficked, so we're not going to participate.
There's that. I do like my life, yeah. You know, living and all.
Exactly.
I'm a curious person, though, and because there has been this uptick, I am curious on what the end game is with these texts, right? So I get one that says, hey, Linda, sorry I didn't sign the contract yesterday, but I'll get to it today. Clearly, I hit her back, and I'm like, hey, this isn't Linda. My name is Bert. And she's like, oh, I'm so sorry, Bert. What part of town do you live in? Blah, 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 blah. And then we start engaging in this conversation. I'm sure this is happening to you guys also, right? I've just been real curious. I now have a goal just to find out what the end game is. So now for 3 days, we've been going back and forth, and there's no ask. There's no ask. All I know is that her name is Kasha. She's 36 years old. She sent me a picture of herself. She's a very, very attractive Asian woman. Shockingly. Really shocked when she sent the picture. And as we're having this small talk back and forth, and I'm trying to guide her in a direction of an end game, she's refusing. She's refusing to give me any kind of end game anymore, and it's driving me nuts. So she asked me for a picture. I kind of panicked. I needed to send somebody that I thought was attractive but approachable. I sent a player from the Atlanta Braves, Austin Riley. Good-looking man. He's a good-looking man.
You win top shelf for sure.
So, and she's kind of ghosted me since then. She asked me, oh, that looks like a very young picture. How old are you? I don't know how old he was, but she told me she was 36. She said it looked young, so I went with 34. Now I got nothing back. Nothing. Zero. Nada. I feel like I had her on the hook and she's gone. She's ghosted me. So I've like 4 straight texts to her to try to get her back in the game. I can't get her back in the game.
You need to walk away.
I'm not walking away.
He's in too deep.
I'm in too deep.
You need an intervention.
Look, it gets worse and worse and worse here, and I need to somehow, some way get her back on path to make me, to make her realize that whatever the end game is, she can still make me a victim. Okay. So I hit her with 34. I don't hear back. So then I write back, does age matter? Nothing.
Nothing.
I go the entire night. I don't hear back from Kasha. Wake up in the morning and there's nothing from Kasha. So I wrote, later on in the afternoon, how's your day? I can see she's reading it. Didn't respond back.
She hasn't
read. She left you on red?
Left me on red, bro.
Kasha's a savage.
Uh-huh. What does a guy got to do to get fished around here? So then I thought, all right, I'm going to get a little bit more desperate here. So.
You need to know.
No.
You need to be careful because you don't know. You have no idea who you're talking to.
No. What'd you do?
So I texted. This is my fourth text. I miss my friend. Not only did I text, I miss my friend, but I also text, I had a hard day yesterday and was hoping we could say hi.
You're pathetic.
Yeah. I think
you like out crept the creeper. Like, she's now afraid of you.
Right? You flipped it. You're now the scammer.
Yes.
The fish has become the fisher.
This might be rock bottom, that I've been ghosted by somebody that clearly just wants money, and I can't even get her to ask for it, right? Here's what I'm going to do.
No.
No.
What? No, I'm going in.
This is where I've got to give you the same tough love I have to give myself every time a man leaves me on red, because it's happened a lot. Kasha is just not that into you.
You need to let it go.
You need to get a hobby.
How can that be? So here's what I was thinking about doing as desperation today. going with pure honesty. What if I say to Kasha, hey, Kasha?
No.
What? You don't even know what I'm going to say yet.
I don't need to know.
Hey, Kasha, I don't know what the end game here is, but I will give you $250 if you send me a video saying hi, Bert, just so I can see what you really look like. That's it. I'm going to give her $250 just to see that she's really not Kasha. I am dying to know who she is and where this end game was going to go. I'm assuming it was going to be in an ask for money. So why don't I just give it to her from the start and find out really what's going on?
Why don't you just call the number?
Ooh.
Might save you $200.
I hadn't thought of that.
I think the number's 1-800 obvious.
Or FaceTime the number.
I hadn't thought of it. Well, I can't FaceTime it because I'm not Austin Riley. And I want her to know I'm a phony. I got integrity.
I'm pretty sure she knows that.
Well,
something tells me.
Here's the thing. If she is a scammer, she's not going to answer a FaceTime call. So maybe we've got to wave the money in her face a little bit. So she's like, you know what? I'm willing to give up the bit for some cash.
That's what I'm thinking also. If I just give her the $250 and say, look, it's staying right here. I'm just really curious because I'm getting a lot of these text messages. What were you going for? Here's $250 just to satisfy my curious itch.
Hey, person doing illegal activities, please reveal your face and name to me for just curious reasons.
She hasn't done anything illegal,
dude,
though.
She's sitting in
except
that.
You know what she's guilty of? Toying with my emotions.
You need to call her because she's going to sit in the middle of that scammer farm and be like, oh, hang on, guys. Austin Riley from the Atlanta Braves is calling me. Hey, gotta take this.
Yeah, she's probably in the same room with all the other fishers, right? I got a sucker on the line. A total sucker on the line. Today I'm making the offer.
I say dig in.
There is a podcast called Search Engine that a lot of you guys have hit me up at where they did the exact same thing. I just haven't got to the end of it yet, so I don't know if they ever find out what happened either. Hey, Stacey, good morning. You're on the Bert Show.
Good morning. I was calling to let you know that any way you pay this person, they will take your form of payment and probably take more out than what you're offering to give, regardless of what they send you.
Totally and completely worth it.
Take it all.
Take it all. I need to know.
This is The Bert Show.
So for what, 3 or 4 days now in the rap community,
did J. Cole ruin hip-hop with what he did the other day at his concert of Dreamville?
You can ruin an entire music genre.
I think what he did will literally change the way that hip-hop will be forever now. He did something that no rapper has ever done.
And we have somebody who was at the Dreamville Festival, and that's our producer, Katie. Ding, ding, ding.
Where all this went down.
Okay.
I witnessed everything.
You're an eyewitness.
Mm-hmm. All right, it's going to take a couple of seconds here to understand the history and why this is so shocking in the industry.
Exactly. So here's how we got here. If you are not the biggest hip-hop fan, hip-hop has been considered a competitive sport, if you will, since the beginning. It's always been that way. If you are a lyrical person or if you are someone who considers yourself one of the best rappers in the world, then you are supposed to be willing to compete with the other best rappers in the world. To beat the best, to be the best, you have to beat the best, as they always say. So this beef between what's known as the Big Three in hip-hop started a little while back, and it's Kendrick Lamar, J. Cole, and Drake. Most people consider them the top three guys in hip-hop.
And just to be clear, beef now is different than it was beef back in the day when you had East Coast, West Coast gunshots. Beef now just means, like, I'm going to do a diss track at you, you back at me, but it doesn't leave the stage?
To be honest, not always. Okay. It kind of depends on the artists that are involved. In this particular beef, it's widely known that it's not violent at all. It's like they don't hate each other. They don't want to fight each other. This is literally who is the best of the Big Three. Is it who's the best in the world out of these three guys? So everybody who loves hip hop, this is exciting. Like this is what it's about when you get three guys that want to compete to be number one. So Kendrick started it all where he has this way about him where he won't rap for a while. He'll kind of go away, he'll disappear, and then he'll come back and he makes a splash. And normally he makes a splash by dissing one of the other guys who are considering themselves as good as him. So he dropped a verse with a Future that was taking shots at J. Cole and Drake, basically saying, there's no Big Three, there's just Big Me.
get up with me. Fucking this at first place shooter. I hope they came with three switches. I crash out like fuck rap. This Melly Mel if I had two. Got two T's with me. I'm snatching chains and burning tattoos. It's up. Lost too many soldiers not to play it safe. If he walk around with that stick, it ain't Andre 3K. Think I won't drop the location. I still got PTSD. Oh, but I'm the big three. Yeah, it's just big me.
So that's when it all started, where he came out and made it very clear, I am not here to be friends with the other guys in the big three. I'm here to let y'all know that it's big me. I'm the guy. So obviously, all of the fans are like, we are about to get a beef. This is about to be a battle. We're waiting for Drake and J. Cole to respond. So initially, it seemed like we were about to get that when J. Cole responded with his diss track.
Chin, I came up in a veil, so I'm good when it's tension. He still doing shows, but fell off like the Simpsons. Your first bitch classic, your last bitch was tragic. Your second bitch put me in sleep, but they gassed it. Your third bitch was massive, and that was your prime. I was trailing right behind, and I just now hit mine. Now I'm front of the line with a comfortable lead. How ironic, so I got it, now he wants something with me.
But J. Cole did something that I don't think any rapper in the history of hip-hop has ever done, and Katie was there front row at Dreamville for it. The very next day after this is dropped and fans had mixed reviews about how good it was, he decided to go on stage. And Katie, you can take it from here because you were there.
It's J. Cole's festival, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
At the end of his set. And this is where he says that something has been weighing on his spirit. And he was basically saying that even though he had just released this diss track, it was disturbing his peace. And he was like, I only did it because people, my guys wanted me to do it. And they're like, how are you going to respond to Kendrick Lamar? And he's like, I felt like I was forced to do it. And then after I did it, I didn't feel comfortable with what I did. And now I want to take back what I did. And he basically said, is anybody in here fans of Kendrick Lamar? Everybody was like, yeah. He's like, as am I. And like left it at that.
So here's exactly what he said.
In my spirit of trying to like get this music out, I ain't gonna lie to y'all. I moved in a way that I feel spiritually feel bad on me. Like I try to like jab my back and I try to keep it friendly. But at the end of the day, when I listen to it and when it comes out and I see the talk, that shit don't sit right in my spirit. That shit make me feel. That shit disrupts my peace. So what I want to say right here tonight is in the midst of me doing that and in that shit, trying to find a little angle and downplay this catalog and his greatness. I want to say right now tonight, how many people think Kendrick Lamar is one of the greatest motherfuckers to ever touch a microphone? Yeah. Dreamville, y'all love Kendrick Lamar, correct? As do I. So I just want to come up here and be like, publicly be like, bro, that was the lamest, like, goofiest. I say all that to say it made me feel like 10 years ago when I was moving incorrectly. And I pray that God aligned me back up on my purpose and on my path. You know what I mean? I pray that my really didn't feel no way. And if he did, my got my chin out. Take your best shot and take that chin, boy. Do what you do. You know what I mean? Like, all good. Like, it's love. And I pray that, you know, I pray that y'all are like, forgive me for like the misstep in it. And then I can get back to my true path because I ain't gonna lie to y'all. Past 2 days felt terrible. Like, it let me know how good I've been sleeping for the past 10 years. So all of that to say, man, I want to now perform this song that's a reminder to me of getting back on the right path and getting in tune with God. And the name of the song is called Love Yours. I want to do that for y'all.
So this is historic here. I mean, it's never been done before.
This is where the debate heard around the world started of if J. Cole indeed did something that was good for hip-hop or bad for hip-hop.
By apologizing.
So the reason is, because I see a lot of people saying, how could an apology ever be a bad thing? Well, for one, like I said earlier, hip-hop is a competitive sport. That's what this is. And J. Cole understands that. He's the guy who came in and said, literally, on Jay-Z's song, Jay-Z's going to hand over the throne to me, and I'm going to be the guy from here on out.
Like, UConn would never apologize to Purdue for beating them in the national championship.
Exactly my point. Even if you are friends. I get that he's saying they're friends in real life. But if you are friends with someone in the NBA, well, you don't get to the finals and tell your team, I can't do this, guys, because that's my friend over there. You compete. That's what hip-hop is, and he's made songs called Number One and rapped about being number one on it. He's taken shots at Kendrick Lamar when Kendrick Lamar was not responding, and it was cool. Him and Drake got on a song called First Person Shooter and took shots at him. He literally said he is the Super Bowl, and of the big three, he's Muhammad Ali.
Muhammad Ali never apologized to George Foreman. Muhammad Ali is the greatest for being the literal opposite. He was willing to beat the best and compete. So to do all of that and then now to say, I apologize once somebody now has responded to you, for me just feels like when a cheater apologizes, you're not sorry you cheated. You're just sorry you got caught. And that's why this apology doesn't feel genuine to me.
Katie is not feeling that. Dang, we're going to run out of time.
Do you think he would have apologized if the song had been well received?
I don't think so. I think if he put that diss out and everybody said, oh, my God, this is amazing, we wouldn't have got an apology.
Yeah.
He wasn't prepared for people to say, this is like Jay. And I don't think he wanted anything to do with the battle after that.
We don't got a lot of time here, Katie, but I could see you disagree.
It's not an apology because he never said, I apologize, Kendrick. He said that this diss track is not what I want to put out for myself and my product. There was no apology. Everyone keeps saying he apologized. He didn't. All he said is that this is not how I want to move in the future for my career. So I'm just move differently. I shouldn't have put it out. I was heated in the moment. My bad.
So he's getting a hard time just for being authentic. Like, this is not who I am. I almost am like playing a character, and I don't like that character.
Exactly. He saying my bad is an apology, and you cannot be the guy who says on every song, I'm the guy. I want to battle. I'm coming at everybody. And then when someone comes at you, never mind. This don't feel right for my soul.
Yes, you can.
Okay.
Yes, you can if you're trying to better yourself, and I think that's what J. Cole's trying to do.
Man, this is the only thing that's been talked about in the community. Look at Mo is not buying that at all. You want to fight?
Yes.
You want to see
you
a fight?
You asked for it. You got it. Put him up, buddy.
No.
It's the Bird Show.
This is the Bird Show.